odor. I'm going to talk about Christ odor, and I'm going to talk about our odor. And as I do this, I want to get your imagination. And I want you to give me your imagination, and I want you to just try if you can somehow. The mind is a very powerful thing, and if there's any way whatsoever you can do it, I ask you to try to ask yourself and try to see, can you smell it? Can you smell it? And so the first thing I want to talk about Mary's odor. Amen. We've already made the point that odor is sacrifice. And then I want to make the point now that worship is sacrifice. Odor and sacrifice are connected one to another. And now I want to show you how worship is connected to sacrifice. And I can do it real quick. In Hebrews the 13th chapter, verse 15 and 16, it says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice and praise to God continually." That is what? The fruit of our lips. What is the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God? It is the fruit of our lips. Y'all get that? "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for such sacrifices God is well pleased." Listen to me. Odor is connected to sacrifice, and worship is connected to sacrifice. Worship is sacrifice. And when worship is going on, sacrifice is going on, God smells it. There's an odor going up to God, and God is well pleased. It is a sweet smelling savor to God. And I'm going to just go ahead and tell you that honestly, this is a beautiful picture of Mary and her sacrifice and her praise. She's down there at the feet of Jesus, and she's worshiping Jesus, and she's just taking it all in, and she's just talking about how great and how wonderful Jesus is. And I'm telling you, the odor is filling the room. It's filling the room. Y'all go ahead and get in there, Luke chapter 7 with me. Hey, amen. We're talking about Mary's odor. Luke 7. Luke 7, verse 37. Y'all grab a hold of this. Luke 7, 37 says, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner." Say, it didn't call her Mary, it didn't call her a woman, it just says she's a sinner. "When she knew that Jesus sat and meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment." We know that that's spikenard from what the other gospels tell us. "And she stood at the feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman that toucheth him, for she's a sinner.'" Go down about verse 44. "And he turned to the woman," say, Jesus knows what you're thinking. "He turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and guess what? Thou gave me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, Simon. But this woman, since the time that I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet." I want you to think, I'm going to stop right there just for a second. How many times does a old sinner come into the church house and Jesus comes in the church house? And I'm telling you, and we're looking down our noses at the way they're dressed, and we're looking down the noses at the way they act, and we're like, oh, Jesus don't know what he's got here. But let me tell you something, they're washing his feet with their tears, and they're ceasing not to kiss him, while the self-righteous Pharisees of the church haven't even offered him and welcomed him into the house of God. Verse 47 says, "Wherefore I say unto thee," this is Jesus talking to this Pharisee, "her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." I'm going to tell you, we see that sacrifice and odor are connected to each other. We see that worship and sacrifice are connected with each other. Can we go ahead and put another word in the mix so we can get it all, put this whole recipe together? Let me go ahead and say that odor and sacrifice are connected together, but sacrifice is also connected with a little word called love. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We don't have to go no further than John 3:16 to see that. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave, that he did what? That he sacrificed his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, we see sacrifice and odor connected. We see sacrifice and worship connected. And now we see sacrifice and love connected. And we see it all unfolding here in the in Bethany at Simon the leper's house. The spikenard, y'all know what spikenard is? Spikenard is the fragrance of love. I mean, that's what it was universally accepted as. That, I mean, if somebody in the Bible days would have got a whiff of spikenard, they'd have said, who's in love? It's a perfume. I mean, it was the fragrance of love. It was a fragrance that was very recognizable. It was a fragrance that was very strong. Listen, you could smell it and know exactly what it was. That smells like spikenard. Somebody must be in love. It was very strong. You couldn't miss it. If you walked down in a room where it had been opened, you'd know, oh man, somebody's been in love in here. Spikenard is the fragrance of love. It's very recognizable. It's very strong. And let me go ahead and say that's what love is. Love is very recognizable. And love is very strong. If somebody loves each other, if a man and woman loves each other, you can tell it. It's very recognizable. And I'm going to tell you, love is very strong. If God loves us, guess what? It's going to be recognizable. And it's going to be very strong. If you love God, it's going to be recognizable and it's going to be very strong. So we understand now, we set this whole thing up, that spikenard is the odor of love. And so we've titled this sermon, Break the Box. So Mary's sitting in Bethany and Simon the leper's house, and here she's got this pound of spikenard. I mean, we know that the spikenard itself weighs a pound. We don't know how much it weighs in this alabaster box. It's like a glass container, and she's carried it in there. I mean, it ain't light. It ain't easy to carry. She's carried this spikenard in, and she got in there, and then she takes it, and the Bible says in Mark's gospel that she broke the box. Now, y'all grab a hold of this, because there's $60,000 worth of ointment in here. All right? There's a pound of it. This is a life investment. This is like something that somebody would say, okay, this is the way in those days that I'm going to invest my money. I'm going to have it tied up in this spikenard. Maybe I can go around and sell a little bit at a time and make money off of it. Listen, this was a life investment. And you know it had a way you could open it and get a little bit at a time. But see, Mary didn't do that. Mary went in there and just broke that thing. It's like breaking a bottle of a cologne or a bottle of perfume. Just break it. It's all going to go out, and you're not going to be able to get it back. When she broke it, she wasn't planning on getting any back. Listen to me. She didn't take that thing and open it and say, here's $100 worth, and maybe that'll do. Amen. Ain't that the way we got? We got $100 worth of praise. We got $100 worth of worship. We got $100 worth of sacrifice. We say, oh, this, I'll come to church this on Sunday morning, pour out a little bit, give you, that's what I'll give you, God. Oh, I'll come on Wednesday, I'll pour out a little bit more, that's what I'll give you. And we give, oh, we only give $100 worth of our life, and we only give $100 worth of our praise, and we only give $100 worth of our worship, and we say, well, that ought to do it. That ought to do you. But I'm telling you, listen to me. She break the box. It's too late now. I go in there and I break the box and I say, here's all of it. Here's $60,000 of it. Here's the anointing. Here's the ointment. Here, you deserve it all. I owe it to you all. I just want to sit here for a little while and I just want to sit here and worship you. She broke the box and she couldn't go back now. I'm going to say this. We need to break the box. Are y'all with me? We need to quit pulling out $100 worth. We need to quit pulling out 10 cents worth, trying to think that's going to be enough for God. Listen to me, God don't want a little bit at a time. God don't want $100 worth of your worship. God don't want $100 worth of your praise. God don't want $100 worth of your life. God don't want $100 worth of your praise. God don't want $100 worth of your you. Listen, he wants it all. It's time that we go all in. And I'm telling you, when you put that box out there and you break that thing and it all pours out and you're fully invested and you're all in, that's what God wants. God wants some all in Christians. He wants you to go so far, all in, fully invested, that there's no way you can go back now. There's not a plan B. There's not a contingency plan. There ain't a way out. Listen, you go all in on that thing. And you know what? When that box breaks, y'all hear me right here. When that box breaks, smells like love. I'm talking about Mary's odor. I'm talking about Mary's love. When she broke that box, it smelled like a lot of things to a lot of people. But to Jesus, he said, man, she loves me. She loves me. I know she loves me. How do you know? She just poured out $60,000 of love on me. She just poured out $60,000 of love on me. Boy, I know she loves me. She proved it. She's all in this thing. There's no going back now. She washed his feet with her hair. Now, y'all know anything about the Bible? You know a woman's glory is her hair. Amen. And she's down there at the low spot, washing his feet. All of her glory at the feet of Jesus. All of her glory below Jesus. It just pries out the window. Listen, you got to be humble before God. And when you sacrifice pride on the altar of worship, listen to me, God smells love. Smells like love to me. Whew. Well, think about this. She's the only one in the room. Has this ever occurred to y'all? Y'all think about this. She's the only one in the room. Peter's over there getting belly full. Fried chicken. Amen? John's over there saying, man, I got to take a break. All the disciples of Christ that walked with him for 3.5 years are in the building. Right? Simon the leper's there. Mary's there. All these followers of Jesus that have walked with him, seen his miracles, seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. They're all there. And here's this little sinner lady. And she seems to be the only one in the room, the only one in the building that understood he's about to die for me. He's about to go to Calvary and die for me. He done told his disciples many times, the Son of Man will be crucified and 3 days later he'll rise again. They didn't get it. But here's this little sinner lady. She seems to get it real good. She's anointing his body for the burial. She's worshiping. She's spending the last few minutes she's got with him. She's up there close as she can get. She knows the time is near. She knows the end is near. And she's getting every bit of worship she can while she can. She's worshiping Jesus while she can. And she's anointing his body for the burial. The only one in the room that got it. And here she takes this 300 pence worth, $60,000 pound of spikenard, and she breaks it all open and she pours it on the top of Jesus' head. And that odor and that ointment and that spikenard is transferred from Mary to Christ. We see Mary's odor, and then we see that odor is transferred and we see Christ's odor. Picture this. That very strong anointing oil goes down over his head, over his shoulders, drips down off his beard, runs down his back as it soaks deep into the pores of his back and deep into his holy pores of his back and his shoulders and his neck and his head. Listen, it's all, he's just soaking up. We got $60,000 worth of spikenard. He's soaking it up. It's going into his pores. It's going into his glands. It's going into his body. His body's being anointed for the burial. Think about it. He soaks deep into his pores. The smoke, the odor fills the room, and Judas is over going, well, that could have been sold for 300 pennyworths to give to the poor. Right? See, that odor smelled like a lot of different things to a lot of different people. To Jesus, it smelled like love. But to Judas, it smelled like a waste. See, we get in church service and people are worshiping God and people are getting all in the worship, and people have gone all in their life and they've taken their life savings and they invested in the ministry of God, and some people are saying, man, that's a waste. That's stupid. That's crazy. But I'm telling you what Jesus thinks about it and what the saints of God think about it. It smells like love. Smells like love to Him. Oh, I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. I'm not here to get preacher's approval. I'm here to get God's approval. Listen to me. I'm not serving man. I don't care what man can do to me. I don't care what man can say to me. Listen to me. At the end of the day, I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I knew you loved me. I smelt your love. I smelt your love. Whew. That blood, that factor goes down the small of his back. Soaks in his pores. And it smells like love. And as they take him to Pilate's whipping post, and they take that Roman cat of nine tails, and the Bible says they make long their furrows. The Psalms tell us that they beat him to the point you couldn't even tell that he was a human being. He was marred like no other man. And as that Roman soldier took that Roman cat of nine tails with that sharpened bone that was as sharp as glass and ripped the flesh off of my Savior, you think it smelled bad. You think it smelled like blood. You think it smelled like iron. But I'm telling you about that time, that old spikenard that comes running out of his body and running out of his pores and running out of his veins. And I'm going to tell you what it smelled like that day. It smelled like love. It smelled like love. That love filled the house of a leper. That love filled the house of the unclean. It filled the upper room at the Last Supper. The smell of love filled the judgment hall when he stood before Caiaphas. The smell, don't you, it don't say they said anything, but don't you know it's like, what's that smell? It smells like spikenard. He stood before Caiaphas and they're slapping him in the face and they're saying, what in the world's that smell? That smells like spikenard. They bring him before Pilate. Pilate's judging him. Pilate's trying to get out of it. He's trying to worm his way out of it. But he's a politician. And he's as crooked as any politician you ever met. And he's like, oh, go ahead and crucify him. Go ahead and crucify him then. But as he walks away, he gets a whiff of it. And he smells it. And he said, what in the world's that? It smells like love. Well, I think about when he went before Herod. Herod's up there smoking. I mean, it smelled like dope. And it smelled like weed, and it smelled like alcohol, and they're all high on ecstasy, and they're all high on all the drugs that they're doing, and it's all blowing around in there. And then Jesus comes before the throne of Herod, and he said, well, what's that smell? I don't know what. It smells like spikenard. Smells like love. Weirdest thing. It filled and soaked into the cross. He's carrying that thing. His face is rubbing on it. His body's rubbing on it. His blood is soaking into it. And he's carrying that cross up the way of Golgotha. And he's taking it to Calvary to die for you and me. And he falls under the weight of his own cross. And that Roman soldier looks to Simon and he says, hey, you carry his cross. And he picked that thing up and he's expecting to get all this nasty smell on him and everything. And he grabs a hold of that thing and he's carrying the cross of Christ. And he says, I don't know about it, but it smells like spikenard. What's that smell? Oh, what's that smell? I don't think Simon was expecting to smell spikenard. I don't think he's expecting to smell love on that old rugged cross. He broke the box. We're talking about Christ over here. He broke the box at Calvary. I'm telling you, Mary didn't have to break it. She could have opened it up and poured it out. Jesus didn't have to break the box at Calvary. He could have called 12 legions of angels. But he went all in. He broke the box. And he died for me. And many hours into his crucifixion, he was sitting there saying, can't go back now. I'm all in. Can't go back now. That's why Jesus can say stuff like, any man putting his hand to the plow looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Because God doesn't want halfway Christians. Somebody listen, that's what's wrong with America. That's what's wrong with our churches. You listen here, listen good. That's what's wrong with us. We got a bunch of half-in Christians, a bunch of $100 Christians, listen to me, a bunch of, I'm just going to give a little bit, I'm just going to get by, as long as I can do enough to feel good about myself, listen to me, he won't have, Mary went all in, she break the box, Jesus went all in, he set the example, he break the box, listen to me, men and women have given their life and died proudly for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said they got a crown of life, and they got to give a crown of life to any martyr who'll die for me, listen to me, he won. The whole thing. He wants the whole thing. That love filled a sinner's house. And it can still fill a sinner's house today. That love filled a sinner's cross. And Jesus said, listen, every one of you got a cross. You pick it up and bear it and carry it. But that love, that smell of Spikenard filled that house. That love and smell and Spikenard filled that cross. And I'm going to pray. I'm thinking for this. Don't you know, 3 days later, after he died, he'd been in that tomb. Him and his body had been laying there 3 days. Oh, he'd been anointed for the burial. He'd already been pre-anointed for the burial. And you walked in that empty tomb 3 days later. And let me tell you, it didn't smell like a rotten corpse. It smelled like precious Spikenard. It smelled like love. It smelled like love. Well, I even got to think about this. How was she at the feet of Jesus? Y'all ever thought about how is she at the feet of Jesus washing his hair? Crying. Wiping his feet with her hair and her tears. How is she at the feet of Jesus and able to pick up and anoint his head for the burial? That tells me that he had to come down there where she was at. I'm going to tell you something. He can come right down where you're at right now. You say, oh, I'd like to give it. I'd like to pour it out. I'd like to open up that alabaster box. I'd like to break the whole thing on Jesus, but how do I do it? Let me tell you, you can do it right now. He'll come down here right where you're at right now and let you pour out your love on him. I'm going to tell you something. She came to where he was because she loved him. And I'm going to tell you something. He'll come. He had to come down here to be able to die on the cross because he loves us. I see Mary's older, I see Christ older, and then I want to see our older. What do you smell like? What do you smell like? When people think about you, when people think of Matt Donnell, when people think of Andy Riley, when people think of Sam Riley, when people think of Charlie Wallace, what do they say? What do they smell? Says in Philippians 4:18, I'll read this verse again, I read it a little bit. But I have all and I abound and I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to our God. You know that Christ loved us first. You know that you love your mom and dad because your mom and dad loved you first. When you first came out of the womb, listen to me, you wouldn't have cared who would have grabbed a hold of you and put a bottle in your mouth. You'd have loved that person. You didn't love them first. They loved you first, and therefore you love them because they first loved you. And I'm going to tell you something. You didn't just love God, and you didn't just love Jesus. Listen to me. You knew that you heard the old story that he died for your sins at the cross of Calvary, and you knew you was lost and undone, and you knew you was a sinner couldn't do nothing worthy of salvation. And you heard that old story that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and then he took your sin, and he paid your price at Calvary. And listen, if you love him, it's only because he first loved you. But we're supposed to pass it on. Those two great commandments is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You will not do that without sacrifice, and you will not do that without worship. But I'm going to tell you something. Ain't you glad that there's moments like this where we have an opportunity where Jesus can smell our love? And every day as we go about our life, we need to understand that we're letting off an odor. And it's either an odor that smells like love to the world, it smells like a love to the lost and dying world, or it is a smelling stench to the world. I'll ask you again, what do you smell like? You can people smell spikenard when you come around? Can they smell the love? Or do people smell stench, hate? I got to think if love's got a smell, I got to think that hate's got a smell. And that odor that you let off and that odor that you emit is all based on the condition of your heart. Are you willing to sacrifice for others? See, I believe sacrifice is with love and it smells. And I believe hate is with judgmental and jealousy and all those sins. See, there's fruits of the spirit, then there's fruits of the flesh. And I believe when we let off those fruits of the flesh, it smells like hate. But when we let off fruits of the spirit, it smells like love. Well, I'm going to ask you this question one more time. I'll ask you to stand. What do you smell like? What do you smell like? Brother Andy?